This morning, there is a theme that we are trying to get across, and that is the idea of light. The season of lights. You know, one of the things that I love to do during the Christmas season is drive around and look at the lights. And it's beautiful. I don't know why that we don't just leave lights up on our house all year long. Amen. Just leave them up and turn them on, because it's just beautiful to drive around at night and see all of the pretty lights, all of the beautiful homes that are lit up. And, you know, it's not as pretty in the daytime. You ever notice that? There's just something about getting in the car at night and going through the neighborhoods and looking at all the lights at night. Something about that darkness that really, really allows the light to stand out. In this Christmas season, I want us to understand that, not just about the pretty lights on the houses, but the light that's in us, that's in each one of us. This morning, as we continue this thought of a Christmas gift for everyone. And last week, remember when I introduced this, we talked about how important it is, you know, for there to be a gift under your tree for everyone in your family. I mean, how tragic would it be to have all the family come over and everybody's opening presents, and then there's this one person or two people that just don't have anything? And thank God that our lives are not like that at all. That because of Jesus, because of God's love for us, there is a gift for everyone. It isn't, there's an individual gift. It isn't necessarily unique, but it's individual. We each have a gift from God. And this morning I want to talk about the gift of hope. And the fact that hope at Christmas especially changes everything. You see, hope is our light. It is the one thing that distinguishes us in the darkness of everything else. Is that while the rest of the world is in darkness and despair, we have light. We have hope. We have this eternal hope that burns bright in us, that causes us to stand out. The Philippian letter says it like this, that we are like shining stars. I mean, one of the things that's beautiful at night in a dark, dark night is to go out. And I love being out in the country where there's no ambient light to speak of. There is, you know, no light pollution at night. And you look up and what do you see? Just star after star. I mean, just the sky is littered with them. And they're so small, but they're so bright, and they really, really stand out in that darkness. That's what God is calling us to do because of the hope that we have. Hope is our light in a darkness, an overwhelming, hopeless darkness. And this morning, one of the things I want to do is talk about, first of all, what hope isn't. You know, I so appreciate the teachings of Jesus and the way that not only what He said, which is the truth, eternal truth, but how He said it. When Jesus is going to teach something, what He does is He first has to tear down every preconceived notion, every presupposition that we have, because when we bring into any teaching what we think we know, it always pollutes or muddies what we really need to know. And so Jesus would say, let me teach you about prayer, and this is how you shouldn't pray. And let me teach you about giving, and this is how you shouldn't give before I teach you how to pray or how to give. And so this morning, one of the things that we need to understand is what hope is not. Hope is not wishful thinking. The hope that is the light isn't just what we wish for or that we just try to imagine. It isn't a blind optimism, just thinking that, you know, well, everything's going to be okay, because sometimes things aren't okay. It isn't just this, you know, this goofy optimism, and it isn't ambitious dreams of, you know, I hope something happens, or I really want life to end up like X, Y, or Z, or I really want things to be a certain way. It isn't like I hope I win the lottery, or I hope I get a raise, or I hope my marriage works out, or I hope my kids are going to be okay. That's not what hope is at all. That's not what the light that burns inside of each one of us is all about. Because real hope changes everything. You see, I can hope I win the lottery, or hope I get a raise, or hope something, have a wish that something's going to take place, and that's not going to change how I live. Told you guys about, you know, the game we like to play, you know, what if? Driving to Murfreesboro. Mega Million jackpot, things on the left. It's getting up there to that, you know, what if kind of range. I think 160 million. Take that lump sum, that's 80 million, right? What if? What if you get $80 million? What would you do? Wes is like, what would I do? What would you do? Well, we can play that game all day long, and guess what? Life's not going to be any different tomorrow just because we wished that or we hoped that. But real hope, real light of the world hope changes everything. You see, because what hope is the confidence in God. It's knowing that even though everything might not be okay, I have a confidence in God that He is still in charge. And He is going to show up. And even though everything might be darkness around me, confidence in God is a knowledge of His plan, of what He wants for my life, and how He established that things will be. Because while circumstances might not always be optimal, the hope inside of each one of us that changes everything tells us that my life transcends, rises above, goes beyond my circumstances. See, wishful thinking, dreams, and blind optimism just has to do with our circumstances and what's going on and what's happening. Real hope moves beyond that. And it's a light in true darkness. This morning I want to ask you, why do we need this? Why do we even need this life-changing, everything-changing kind of hope? Well, if you're listening when we had our scripture reading this morning, verse 18 of Romans chapter 8, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that we will be revealed. The creation awaits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from bondage. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves groan as we await. Why do we need this? Because life is hard. You know, that's one of those moments as my kids would say, duh. You know, hello. You know, McFly, are you listening? Life is hard. It doesn't, you don't have to go very far. You don't have to experience very much. You don't have to really, you know, be any different than everyone else to know that the life that we live is difficult. And just because we put lights on our house and put trees and gifts and walk around with the smell of gingerbread and eggnog and, you know, what are the candy canes, it doesn't make it, life is still hard. And this time of year, it gets even harder. The Christmas season, as joyous as it is, as wonderful as it is, and as all of the things that it is, it's difficult. Life is hard. The Bible tells us over and over again, life is hard. And you have to think, well, why is it so important to remind me that life is hard? Because we need to be reminded of the hope that we have. We need to be reminded that in the circumstances, in the darkness, we have something that transcends that. Hope reminds us of some things. And this morning, I want to go through quickly, and I want you to write them down. I want you to pray over these, because during a season where we can become cynical, in a season where we can fall into the darkness that other people fall into, we need to be reminded of the light that's inside of us, of the gift that we have to offer the world. And our hope reminds us, first and foremost, that our Father is involved in our lives. Our Father is involved in what we have going on. Our Father, in verse 18 through 26 of Romans chapter 8, is described as this not absentee God. Our God is not just aloof and apart and separated. Our God is involved in our life. Look at verse 19. I consider our present sufferings. Life is hard. Don't forget, life's tough. Things are not always going to go. It's not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation awaits eager I can't even say that word today. With eager expectation. I want to say anticipation, but it's expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. The reality is this, is that God is involved in our life to the point that we're related to Him. He's not just our God. He is our Father. He isn't just our Creator. He is our Father. He is making us like Him. He's not far off. He's here. And He's revealing those who have this transcendent hope. The fact of the matter is that life is hard. We're not the only ones that know that. The rest of creation knows that. And everything, not just the people, but the birds and the trees and the animals and the forces of nature are looking forward to seeing the hope that God is birthing in us. Hope reminds us that God is involved. It goes on to more than that. Not only is our God involved, not only is that our God revealing His children, not only is He close enough to be related to us, but hope reminds us that our Father is engaged. Not only is He here, but look at verse 28. He goes on to say that life is tough. There's problems, there's darkness, and we have hope, and the whole creation is waiting to see this hope revealed. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what it already has, but hopes for what we do not have yet? We wait for it patiently. Just a side note, and this is for free, and in reading this and in studying this, there's so many just nuances and subpoints in this. The salvation that we have, being saved from our sins, and that's going to be something that is manifests itself greatly later in heaven. I mean, we all get that we are forgiven. Remember last week the gift for each one? We're forgiven and we're saved, and God is preparing a place for us. And we're hoping for that, not wishing, not blindly, but we know that that changes us because it's a reality. And what that does is it changes us to the point that even in the midst of the difficulty of this life, we are so changed that life's actually good. Even in the midst of bad, it's actually good. And he says that, but don't be mistaken. That's not the real hope he's talking about. The point he's making here is that don't be distracted by the fact that being saved from all this actually makes all this better. And that's not even the good part. That there's an even better part. There's an even better reality that's on its way because we still hope for that. And we hope for what we haven't yet got. Does that make sense? So don't get distracted on this life being made better because it gets even greater. Okay, back on track. There's just so much to this that I get real excited about it. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, do you not know that we ought to pray for Him? The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in according with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. Our God is involved. And not only just here, but He's engaged. He's working. Our God, our Father, is not on the sideline. He is active on our behalf. Now, what hope reminds us of is that God's doing stuff. He isn't just watching. He's doing stuff for us. Right now, we're going through one of the longest seasons of the year. And that's not Christmas. It's the election season. I mean, does anybody else get as tired of hearing what somebody who doesn't know me is going to do for me? It's just, oh my goodness. I want to turn on the television or the radio or whatever, and I want to hear something other than politics and the election cycle. But you know, when anything bad ever goes wrong, people are, oh, you need to write your congressman. You need to write your senator. You need to elect this person to work on your behalf. Because these people have power. That's the only reason that we would involve a senator or a congressman or one of our governing officials on our behalf is because they have power. And how good would it be to know that your issue, that your elected official is working for you? I mean, many of us in this room have had situations, circumstances come up in our life, and you just wish that the people that you elected were doing what you elected them to do or were working on your behalf. And I mean, how good would it feel that if you there was a road that is just so full of holes and just so broken down, and you wrote a letter to someone, and then a couple weeks later you saw a crew of men out there or women out there fixing it. Man, yes! It's working. They're working on my behalf. They're doing what I ask them to do. Well, beyond your senator and beyond your congressman and even beyond the president of this great nation, our God is working on our behalf. We're not just writing a letter to Scott Desjardins. We are praying to the Creator of the universe. The Bible tells us that God is so concerned that He doesn't just lend His ear. He doesn't just turn His gaze upon us. That He gets up. That He gets in motion. That He gets busy for us. And not just working to solve a problem, not just trying to get us to stop talking, not just trying to appease us, but for our good. Our God is engaged. He's not on the sideline. He's working. He's working together everything, even things that we're unaware of, that we haven't even bugged Him about yet. Our God is working. And not only does hope remind us that He's involved, that He's engaged, but hope reminds us that He's unencumbered by anything that encumbers us. He isn't derailed by the darkness. What the Bible tells us is that nothing is going to prohibit Him from saving. Nothing. Not the frustration that the world is going through, not the groans, not the darkness, not the difficult circumstances, not even the unholiness that caused all this darkness in the first place. Because isn't sin at the root of all of this? It isn't our rebellion the cause of the darkness and the frustration and the groans? God says, you're not going to stand in my way. You're not. I'm going to bless you. Even if you don't want to be blessed. Even if you're not acting in a blessable way. Even if you're not doing what I'm going to. Even if you don't even know how to ask for my blessing. The Spirit is going to intercede for you. And I'm going to get to you and for you what I know you need. Nothing prohibits Him. What a hope we have. What a light we have to share. I don't know about you, but there is no greater message than for that people need to hear this year, this time of year, and in all of the things that are going on in our country and around the world, than the hope that we have, the light that we have to share, and that our God, no matter what's going on, no matter if the economy's in the tank or the terrorists are rising up, that our God is involved and engaged, and nothing stands in His way. Is there a greater gift than we could give? Is there a greater message that we could tell? I don't know of one. And if there is, I've never heard it. This morning, what is your light? Is your light the circumstances around? Is your light, is your message what's going on? Or is your message, your hope, the God of the universe, who in the middle of disappointment, chaos, frustration, and groans, is here and working and unstoppable? Can we give that gift? Can we live that gift this Christmas season? Whatever your need is this morning, if you need to have that light reignited in your life, if you need to have that hope rekindled, come forward this morning. Let's pray together. Let's pray over your hope. Let's pray over your light for this world. If you need to start that life, to have the hope of Christ birthed within you for the first time and confess Him as Lord and Savior, to be baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection, and to be ignited into and welcomed into a hope that is eternal and everlasting, whatever your need is, the gift is waiting for you as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.